It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we study Ephesians chapter 4, we're reading what Paul is telling the church at Ephesus. And we're looking at verse 17 now of Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." Well, Paul's giving the church instruction. Let me remind you that this is coming from God himself. Paul is the one whom God has instructed to pen down these words that we receive today in the Word of God, the Bible. Well, he's giving these people firsthand what they are to do and what they're not to do. And we should follow the admonition of the Lord as we study the book of Ephesians and the other sections of scriptures as to how we are to walk as the people of God. But notice now the word walk in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. I look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 where it says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." He's speaking to the church at Ephesus, the people there. He's saying you walked a different way. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." You lived like the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And we know that the prince and the power of the air is the devil himself. He goes on to say that it's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience are those who have never trusted Jesus as Savior. They're disobedient to the call of the Savior. I believe that according to the Word of God, that God calls each person, gives them an opportunity in this world, in this life, in all human beings, gives them an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." That means everybody. That means men, women, boys, and girls. Everybody has the same opportunity to go to heaven. They can either receive Jesus as Savior or they can reject him. It's totally up to the individual. You cannot force someone to get saved. And sometimes we think that the more we talk, the longer we talk, the harder we talk to someone, that it's going to persuade them. Well, there's nothing wrong with using persuasion. In other words, there's nothing wrong with telling people that Jesus saves. He's the persuader. Jesus is the persuader. And that's the persuasion we need to use, the persuasion of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. As we give out the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can persuade, can help a person understand, "Thus saith the Lord, this is the way of eternal life," because it is God's Word. It's in the Scripture. But notice now, read Ephesians 4:17 again. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk," in other words, the unsaved, "in the vanity of their mind." This is the way people walk. They have vanity in their mind. In other words, it doesn't amount to anything. Solomon says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." It means nothing. That word vanity, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." I believe that a person can refuse God so many times, he says, "Okay, go ahead and have it your way. You want to live like the devil, you don't want to go to heaven, you want to go to hell, then you go right ahead and do what you're going to do because of your foolish heart," Romans 1:21 says. Their foolish heart was darkened. In other words, they would rather have the things of the world, the things of the devil, than to have the things of God. You and I, as saved people, we need to be giving out the Word of God, not depending upon ourselves to save anyone, because we can't. It has to be by and through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, as we witness to people in this world. They need to get saved, and sometimes we just get so anxious, and we want everybody to be saved, but we need to stop and step back and take a look every now and then and say, look, it's not me, it's the Lord who's going to save a person. If they refuse after I've given them the Word of God, then we need to go to someone else. That's what Christ told to the apostles. He said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere else and present the Word of God. That's what we need to do. We want everybody saved. And sometimes we get frustrated. We need to give it to God. Let the Lord Jesus Christ take it and let Him do the work. Now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. I believe we need to go back and read verse 17 in connection with this. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Well, notice the word ignorance there. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2 says this, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Well, notice that eternal judgment, the term there, eternal judgment, is talking about people who are ignorant. Eternal judgment comes to those who, through ignorance, hold to anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. You see, people are blinded to the truth when they follow the darkness of their own heart or the darkness of this world, then in particular, the darkness of their own heart. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We cannot depend upon our conscience, upon our heart, the innermost being of us to guide and direct us, because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it? And in fact, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. These are some of the verses that we need to be reading to individuals when they refuse Jesus as Savior. Now, we don't beat them over the head with them. We go as far as we can without alienating ourselves from them. But we need to let people know that they cannot depend upon themselves for salvation or for the right judgment concerning God. Proverbs 16:25 says the same thing as Proverbs 14:12. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When a person depends upon their own intellect, their own knowledge, their own worldly thoughts, then the end thereof will be death. Now notice the Bible is clear. Titus 3:5 says that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, ignorance. People believe in baptism, the doctrine of baptism. In other words, a person would believe that you're saved by being going down into water. Water can cleanse us outwardly, our body, but it cannot clean the soul. That's a doctrine of baptism that we're being warned about here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in the people because of the blindness of their heart. Baptism, laying on of hands, in other words, depending on a person, laying hands on someone to save them. And the Bible goes on to say in Hebrews 6:2, the resurrection of the dead, thinking that a person has a second chance after they leave this life, a second chance of going to heaven. There is no second chance. Once a person is dead, they're dead. And it says eternal judgment in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2. Eternal judgment comes to those who, through the ignorance, refuse Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, the Bible is clear, once again, that we can do nothing to save ourselves. It's by God who does that. It's by His mercy that He saves us. And notice the word alienated there in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 4. And I read in connection with this, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says there, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." You see, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. And I'm going to speak about that in just a moment with this verse. We are spiritually dead before we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he's quickened us. He's made us alive together with him, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. He's quickened us, made us alive with him. How? He forgave us of all trespasses. It says, having forgiven you, that's us, that's people who are saved, having forgiven you all trespasses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth. We were separated. We didn't know. I mean, God didn't know us, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We were far away from God before we got saved. We were aliens. We were alienated from him. But thank God he gave his life for us, and that's Jesus. Jesus gave his life that we could be saved. And we are saved once we trust him. And notice here the spiritual death that I spoke of. This is a state of eternal separation from God in conscious suffering. This is called the second death. Some people think they're just going to die, and that's it. That's the end of everything. But that's not true. There is an eternal separation from God that takes place, conscious suffering, and that is the second death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of what? The second death. He that overcometh, he that hears what the Spirit of God says," the Bible says there. What the Spirit of God says is that you must be born again. You must trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And thank God you've done that. If you've done that, then you don't have to worry about the second death. Revelation 20 and verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." The first resurrection is Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus Christ saves us. He gives us eternal life. He is the one who rose first from the grave. And because he rose, he's alive. And because of that, we have eternal life. And it's through him that Jesus Christ says, "Believe on me and you'll be saved. Trust in me and one day you'll be with me in heaven." The second death has no power over the person who is saved and on their way to heaven. And I pray today that you have been saved. You do know Jesus as your Savior. If not, you need to trust him as Savior. At the end of the program, you'll be given a website, two websites. Please listen to those addresses and look on those websites, and you'll see other scriptures there that will help you understand more fully how that you can be sure that you're on your way to heaven. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the way of eternal life, by trusting him, asking him to save you, and giving you eternal life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.